Gutierrez's declaration and news of his hunting party raced through the colony. I heard about it as kids came running up to the community center with all the latest. By that time, Gutierrez and his crew had already been in the woods for a while. I went to tell my parents, but John and Jane were already off to bring back the hunting party. The two of them were former military. I didn't think they would have any trouble bringing them back. But I was wrong. John and Jane found the hunting party, but before they could drag them back, the creatures in the woods ambushed them all. Gutierrez and all his men were killed in the attack. Jane was stabbed in the gut. John chased after the fleeing creatures and caught up with them at the tree line, where they attacked another colonist at his homestead. That colonist was Hiram Yoder, one of the Mennonites who helped save the colony by training the rest of us how to plant and farm without the help of computerized machinery. He was a pacifist and didn't try to fight the creatures. They killed him anyway. In the space of a couple of hours, six colonists were dead, and we learned that we weren't alone on Roanoke, and what was here with us was getting used to hunting us. But I was more worried about my mom. "You can't see her yet," Dad said to me. "Dr. Tsao is working on her right now." "Is she going to be okay?" I asked. "She'll be okay," Dad said. "She said it was not as bad as it looked." "How bad did it look?" I asked him. "It looked bad," Dad said, and then realized that honesty wasn't really what I was looking for at the moment. "But look, she ran after those things after she'd been wounded. If she had been really injured, she wouldn't have been able to do that, right? Your mom knows her own body. I think she'll be fine. And anyway, she's being worked on right now. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she's walking around like nothing happened by this time tomorrow." "You don't have to lie to me," I said, although per the previous comment, he was actually telling me what I wanted to hear. "I'm not lying," Dad said. "Dr. Tsao is excellent at what she does, and your mom is a very fast healer these days." "Are you okay?" I asked. "I've had better days," he said, and something flat and tired in his voice made me decide not to press the matter any further. I gave him a hug and told him I was going to visit Gretchen and would be over there for a while in order to stay out of his hair. Night was falling as I stepped out of our bungalow. I looked out toward Croatoan's Gate and saw colonists streaming in from their homesteads. No one, it seemed, wanted to spend the night outside the walls of the colony village. I didn't blame them one bit. I turned to head to Gretchen's and was mildly surprised to see her striding up under full steam. "We have a problem," she said to me. "What is it?" I said. "Our idiot friend Magdi has taken a group of his friends into the forest," Gretchen said. "Oh, God," I said. "Tell me Enzo isn't with him." "Of course Enzo's with him," Gretchen said. "Enzo's always with him, trying to talk sense to him even as he's following him right off a cliff." 17. The four of us moved as silently as we could into the forest, from the place where Gretchen had seen Magdi, Enzo, and their two friends go into the tree line. We listened for their sounds. None of them had been trained to move quietly. It wasn't a good thing for them, especially if the creatures decided to hunt them. It was better for us, because we wanted to track them. We listened for our friends on the ground. We watched and listened for movement in the trees. We already knew whatever they were could track us. We hoped we might be able to track them, too. In the distance, we heard rustling, as if of quick, hurried movement. We headed that direction, Gretchen and I taking point, Hickory and Dickory fast behind. Gretchen and I had been training for months, learning how to move, how to defend ourselves, how to fight, and how to kill, if it was necessary. Tonight, any part of what we learned might have to be used. We might have to fight. We might even have to kill. I was so scared that if I stopped running, I think I would have collapsed into a ball and never gotten up. I didn't stop running. I kept going, trying to find Enzo and Magdi before something else did, trying to find them and to save them. After Gutierrez left, Magdi didn't see any point in keeping our story quiet anymore, so he started blabbing to his friends, Gretchen had told me. He was giving people the idea that he'd actually faced these things and had managed to keep them off while the rest of us were getting away. "Idiot," I said. When your parents came back without the hunting party, a group of his friends came to him about organizing a search, Gretchen said, which was actually just an excuse for a bunch of them to stalk through the forest with guns. My dad caught wind of this and tried to step on its head. He reminded them that 5 adults just went into the forest and didn't come out. I thought that was the end of it, but now I hear that Magdy just waited until my dad went to go visit yours before gathering up some like-minded idiots to head off into the woods.
Didn't anyone notice them heading off? I asked.
They told people they were going to do a little target practice on Magdy's parents' homestead, Gretchen said. No one's going to complain about them doing that right about now. Once they got there, they just took off. The rest of Magdy's family is here in town like everyone else. No one knows they're missing.
How'd you find out about this? I asked. It's not like Magdy would tell you this right now.
His little group left someone behind, Gretchen said. Isaiah Miller was going to go with him, but his dad wouldn't let him have the rifle for target practice. I heard him complaining about that and then basically intimidated the rest of it out of him.
Has he told anybody else? I asked.
I don't think so, Gretchen said. Now that he's had time to think about it, I don't think he wants to get in trouble. But we should tell someone.
We'll cause a panic if we do, I said. 6 people have already died. If we tell people 4 more people, 4 kids, have gone off into the woods, people will go insane. Then we'll have more people heading off with guns and more people dying, either by these things or by accidentally shooting each other because they're so wired up.
What do you want to do, then? Gretchen asked.
We've been training for this, Gretchen, I said. Gretchen's eyes got very wide.
Oh, no, she said. Zoe, I love you, but that's loopy. There's no way you're getting me out there to be a target for these things again, and there's no way I'm going to let you go out there.
It wouldn't just be us, I said.
Hickory and Dickory are going to tell you you're nuts, too, Gretchen said. They just spent months teaching you how to defend yourself, and you think they're going to be at all happy with you putting yourself out there for something to use as spear practice? I don't think so.
Let's ask them, I said.
Miss Gretchen is correct, Hickory said to me, once I called for it and Dickory. This is a very bad idea. Major Perry and Lieutenant Sagan are the ones who should deal with this matter.
My dad's got the whole rest of the colony to worry about at the moment, I said. And Mom's in the medical bay, getting fixed from when she dealt with this the last time.
You don't think that tells you something? Gretchen said.
I turned on her, a little angry, and she held up a hand.
Sorry, Zoe, that came out wrong. But think about it. Your mom was a special forces soldier. She fought things for a living. And if she came out of this with a wound bad enough for her to spend her night in the medical bay, it means that whatever is out there is serious business.
Who else can do this? I asked. Mom and Dad went after that hunting party on their own for a reason. They had been trained to fight and deal with experiences like that. Anyone else would have gotten themselves killed. They can't go after Magdy and Enzo right now. If anyone else goes after them, they're going to be in just as much danger as those two and their other friends. We're the only ones who can do this.
Don't get angry at me for saying this, Gretchen said. But it sounds like you're excited to do this, like you want to go out there and fight something.
I want to find Enzo and Magdy, I said. That's all I want to do.
We should inform your father, Hickory said.
If we inform my father, he'll tell us no, I said. And the longer we talk about this, the longer it's going to take to find our friends. Hickory and Dickory put their heads together and clacked quietly for a minute.
This is not a good idea, Hickory said, finally. But we will help you.
Gretchen, I asked. I'm trying to decide if Magdy is worth it, she said.
Gretchen, I said.
It's a joke, she said. The sort you make when you're about to wet your pants.
If we are to do this, Hickory said, we must do it on the assumption that we will engage in combat. You have been trained with firearms and hand weapons. You must be prepared to use them if necessary.
I understand, I said.
Gretchen nodded.
Then let us get ready, Hickory said, and let us do so quietly.